There's a lot happening in Aboriginal arts and culture across the country, partly due to the appointment of Rhoda Roberts, who is the head of Indigenous programming at the Sydney Opera House. Today is also International Day of Indigenous Peoples, and we caught up with the Widjabul woman and creative powerhouse about the launch of her podcast, Deadly Voices from the House. It's set to feature intimate conversations with Indigenous leaders in music, arts and culture. Marilyn Hetterly spoke to Rhoda about why she sees the arts as such a vital platform for change.
We're very excited. You know, this is an era, I think we're in a renaissance. You know, we're seeing things like Clever Man on the small screen. We're seeing big films, going across to Europe. We've got our own radio network, our television network, our own newspapers. Our artists are really ensuring that the voice is heard. There's plays in virtually every city now. And so it gives you great hope and inspiration.
What are the main issues for Aboriginal people that guide your important work? I know there are quite a lot, but for you, what sticks out?
Well, it is exciting to know that the world recognises First Nations peoples globally, and particularly on a day like today. There are many issues that, of course, First Nations peoples are very passionate about. One of them is climate justice. I think that would take our priority. But then, of course, if we look at what's happening in Australia, there's much discussion to be had at the way the profiling of Aboriginal youth, the justice system that occurs, incarceration of our young people is a big issue, but we are seeing some response to that. One of the big things is that Australia is recognising and coming to terms with the fact that Aboriginal people are the first peoples of this country, and that we have an enormous amount of advantage to offer not only Australians socially, but also culturally, politically and economically. If you look at what we have as the oldest living race on the planet, it's our culture that stands out, and it is our advantage. And I think we need to all move forward and look at the very positive things that Aboriginality and spirituality can bring to this country.
Now, Deadly Voices from the House was launched last month, I believe. It's a free monthly podcast, but you've been interviewing First Nations artists and leaders for years. What prompted you to embark on this project, and what do you hope to achieve?
Look, Deadly Voices from the House is a great opportunity to hear various people from many sectors and industries talking about their lives, what they do. It showcases that diversity. But also, you know, as we move into a digital era, it's great to have the podcast, particularly with people that most Australians have heard of, but they possibly only hear about them because of what they do or issues they've raised. And it's great to hear the other side of that person, to get a more depth, and I guess, and how most Indigenous peoples focus very holistic on their community, their obligations, but also what they're doing. For example, we've got Adam Goods coming up on one of our podcasts, and it's really interesting to hear him talk about where he sees his future after football, and you know how he looks at what the culture of football is, and he's not going to enter politics, that's for sure.
Mm. You do share some very personal stories in the first episode of Deadly Voices from the House. Is this the kind of conversation we can look forward to in future episodes?
Yes, indeed. I think it's, you know, getting to hear more about that particular person in a conversation and the things that matter to them as well, and not, it's not just specifically about what they actually do.
And I do wish we had more time. We've got a couple more questions to get through. The Opera House's Homeground Festival, an annual celebration of First Nations culture from around the world, is coming up in October. What can we expect from the festival?
Well, it's October the 8th and 9th, and there's music, dance, workshops, healing, stories, crafts. We've got an art market. It's really exciting because it is celebrating First Nations globally. So we've got artists coming in from across the Pacific. We've got East Timor, Papua New Guinean representation, Maori from New Zealand. So it's really exciting to also look at what they're doing in their countries and, you know, having a great time dancing and having fun with groups like Trinity Roots, Dub Marine, East Journey from Northeast Arnhem Land. Oh, there's a huge lineup of music, and then, of course, dance program in Homeground. And then one of the other projects we do is Dance Rights, which is our national dance competition.
Brilliant. And the Opera House's new reconciliation plan was unveiled last week, I believe. In what ways do you see the arts as a platform for change?
I think the arts has always been a platform for change. We certainly do have more of a level playing field than, say, other industries. Our RAP, we're going into our fifth year, and it's really about showcasing that leadership as the first arts company in this country to have a reconciliation action plan. But for us, it enables us to do things outside just normal programming. So we have a big trainee program. We have a student careers day so they can look at what's available in the creative industries. Our big thing is making access so that the Opera House is for everyone and they feel comfortable there. We're building on our program, but we're also building on embedding works across the Opera House. And also our staffing levels have increased. So it's not just in, you know, people working behind the scenes on a show, but also right across to when you arrive, you know, at the front of house, the ticketing person might be Aboriginal, which is just fabulous.
And that's a tough question, but was there one time or moment in your life that inspires you to embark on your extraordinary career?
Oh, gee, let me think. There's many moments, but I think I was one of the very fortunate young artists where I got to work with many of our serious and senior law people and also artists working in the creative industry, such as Justine Saunders, Bob Mazza, Brian Siren, Jack Davis, and they implemented a program that we would take on as young people. And that, to me, they handed us the mantle and trusted that we would be able to embark on this work and maintain culture as a priority for our communities. And having that platform, I often feel very humbled because to be able to celebrate our culture, speak our language, showcase our dance and ensure that song lines are continued across this nation is a serious obligation. But the fact that those artists trust me is why you do it.
Have you seen any big changes since taking on the role as head of Indigenous programming at the Opera House?
Look, I think one of the things is the Sydney Opera House is very committed to embedding cultural works and nurturing and treasuring the oldest culture. And so when we see songlines as part of Vivid light up the Sydney Opera House with the diversity of our artists who paint country is extraordinary. It really says that commitment is there in very much a mainstream level, but also at a very community grassroots level. And that's exciting.
What still needs to change in terms of how Aboriginal voices are represented in the media and the arts?
Look, too often we do still tend to see the profiling of Aboriginal social aspects, and we all know that in every sector of society there are those who are disenfranchised and there are those who, you know, are confident. And we are a group of people who suffer serious intergenerational trauma, and often the story can be quite stereotyped rather than looking at what the issue is. You know, I look at the recent Four Corners on the Don Dale situation and I'm reminded that that story was told in the Indigenous media a year earlier, but no one took notice. And yet we knew this was happening, no one believed us. And thank goodness for the ABC that that story was told. And then all of a sudden we see this national outcry. But when it was on NITV and in our national newspaper, the Koori Mail, very few people questioned it. So we do have a lot of work, I guess, across the media to show more depth to a story and to question, you know, people are living in extraordinary circumstances and most of our communities live in chaos. And that's because this country, the massacres, the stealing children, taking land did occur. So as a nation, I think we are moving forward because we are accepting those truths of what occurred in our history.
Rhoda Roberts, Widjabul woman and head of Indigenous programming at the Sydney Opera House, ending that report by Marilyn Hetrelese.